Paul, they say that the playoffs are a lot about how you handle the highs and lows. How do you think the team has handled the low of getting scored on in double overtime?
Yeah, we dealt with it yesterday, and now look forward. We've worked hard at that being our foundation, how we've done it all season, and look forward. So we've passed it now, moved on, and excited about a game tonight.
We talked a lot about Paul Stasi right after the acquisition. Can you maybe just talk about the way that he had, the impact he's had on your club down the stretch and through the early part of the postseason?
Well, there'd be two pieces. The on-ice, is the stats are there for you. He has a real strong vision on the ice. He's playing with two young players that are dynamic but completely different in style of game. So what he has is the ability to read off them very well. So they're consistent in the game they play, but there's a lot of creativity to the game that they play. And he's a center iceman that picks up on that. You need a guy that can read it on both sides of the ice. I think that just as important, obviously performance is number one, but you bring a veteran guy into your room that's a hockey guy. So there are really good players in the NHL that walk out of the rink and don't think about the game till the minute they walk back in, and everybody's different, but Paul's a guy that's, when you walk by him in the hallway or you go grab a coffee in the lounge, he's talking hockey nonstop. So it's good to have a veteran guy like that in your room that's wired to the game, loves being around the game, and it rubs off because he's talking to different guys all the time. So it brings more of a hockey mindset into your room, and then he has the respect of the players, so they listen.
Paul, what is it about the playoffs that's brought out a little bit of offense in Brandon Tanev?
Because it's always those kind of the game. I'm not even sure if the game doesn't even necessarily get better at times as the teams kind of get worn down as it goes. I don't know that you necessarily see more creativity. It gets harder, so the simpler game usually excels. So he's played that and had to play that his entire life to get into the NHL. So what he's been doing is, for the last 8 months, training for playoff hockey. So the simple outs, the simple ins, keep your feet moving all the time, take it to the net, shoot the puck, get it to the net. You know, he's not curling up backhand sauce into the slot. He's playing that direct game, the exact game he's played. So sometimes I think that's why the role players in these have a bit of an advantage. There isn't a change for them. It's their game that they've played all year. So he gets into this and nothing's changed for him. He's also an energy guy. The crowd gets going, gets wired a little bit more. He's an incredibly, incredibly fit guy. Outstanding testing numbers right from the start. So he can drive at that pace all the way through.
Paul, tonight's the eighth game of the year between these two teams, so the juice that exists here between both is quite natural, and you saw the intensity, I thought, rise in game two. Have you talked to your team that has less playoff experience of the between-the-whistles stuff, which wasn't that bad, I thought,
right,
in game two, but as intensity continues to rise and just to maintain that?
I think the intensity, actually, game one might have been both games in the playoffs have had less after the stuff whistle than the regular season because the cost of it, the potential cost of it. Both teams, very good power plays, lots of shooters. If you get picked out of that scrum as the one guy, and we saw that happen to us in the first round, it can be in the back of your net. So I haven't, you know, there's going to be, as teams get uncomfortable with each other over seven games, the possibility of it coming out more is there for sure. But the cost is so much higher for both teams that feel they have good teams and they have a chance to win. So I think that will temper it.
Bit of a flyer here, but did you happen to see Dustin Byfuglien punching his teammates in the face after that goal the other night?
Yeah, I might have seen that.
Do you think that Ehlers should have gone for concussion protocol after that?
No. What you don't know about Nick Ehlers, you'd have to go back to his one fight in the NHL in Colorado, that he has a nasty uppercut. So don't underestimate Nicky is all I'm saying. Clearly he can take a punch, but he can give one back too.
Paul, what's the biggest challenge that Johansson line presented for your group in game two?
A bit of everything on the line. Really, really good playmaker in the middle. Great speed on the wings. They can shoot it from the outside or they can make the move to the inside to your net. So highly skilled group. The gap is an issue. You have to be tight with them, but clearly even when you're tight with them, they can beat you. So a high-end line for sure.
What'd your group do better to generate a little bit more offensive zone time?
Well, there were some specific things, but we'll keep those in-house that we like. Overall, we were slightly tentative in my mind with the puck in the first game. So we're not talking about adding more risk to our game at all, but there has to be a certain amount of courage to make plays. Always happens. Those plays are more likely to happen if your feet are moving. So we'll go back to the thing I've said 1,000 times this year. Speed is the elemental part of our game. We skated better.
You touched on it with Brandon Tanev, but you've always said for a player to come into the league, he needs to come and he needs to do something that keeps him in the league and then builds his game from there. What we're seeing from him offensively is a bit of a continuation of what we saw from him at the end of the season. He was picking it up. What did you see in his game that's allowed him to start, you know, putting the puck in the net, making an offensive difference?
Well, it would be, you go back to right to the start, and it's a conversation that we have. As a player, you have to be good at something. We want to make you better in the areas that you lack. But the most important thing for every player is that you continually sell what you're good at. So he would have done that over the course of the year. But his speed, and that suits our team, is unique. It's what separated him when he first came in, while he's learning the game, and what got him back into the lineup early in the year. That's the key piece to what he does. So as a checker, and we use him in that role, his strength is he can close the gap, he can get on the forecheck and get on the puck as very, very quickly. The turnovers that happen, he pounces on, but that's the simplicity in his game. He's a grinder in a lot of ways, in a small man way, that he grinds with speed. The offensive part of it, you know, he had you think of the two goals, his first two goal game against Detroit. Those were both completely based on speed, and then he gets the hat trick. There's a shot there, but I think the speed is the key piece.
If I asked you or your players what you expect out of them tonight, the typical answer is that, you know, you're not worried about them, you're worried about establishing your game, which would be using your speed and your skill to force them into mistakes in their zone and capitalize on those mistakes. They play pretty much the exact same game. So how much harder is it to establish your game against a team like this that plays the exact same game back at you?
Well, that's the tug of war of game two, right? We'll all look at the chances against, find about a better way that we can either have hard gapped better, a positional read better, and then you take a look at the offense. You know, you're in pretty good position on the two breakaways that we had, pick passes off. We have slightly different systems, but almost identical attitudes of how the game is supposed to be played. It's a hard gap game. Neither team is looking to give ice. The game one was not the game that we like to play, but we still can shoot the puck an awful lot and awfully well. So this is just, it truly is just a tug of war here, right? Set your feet hard and start pulling.
Paul, when you get to this point of the year, is it unusual to not have either coach in a game or series be chasing specific matchups?
No, I think that goes to the earlier question.
The attitude?
Right, the style of play, there's a cost to it, right? You've got to run your bench if you're comfortable. We would have players, you know, we've got a couple injuries, but we would have players on every line. So Andrew Kopp had ran on the wing or at center in a shutdown role almost all year, so we're comfortable with that. In each line, we play Scheif against the other team's best most times, Lowry if not. But Stastny's lines, his numbers against the other team's best, not as a hard match, but is actually really good, right? There's a lot of games where that tug of war is even, that they'll get out against the other team's best if both teams are kind of willing to, you know, cheat's not the right word, right? Bad players cheat, good players anticipate. There's a lot of really good anticipation going on when those offensive players are on the ice.
Is it refreshing a little as a coach, though, to kind of just send them out? I mean, it's not the way the game
matchup,
played anymore.
My sense of the matchup is this. You have your idea of what your team's supposed to look like, and if it's not looking the way you want, you change the matchup, but you're not chasing the other group. One more patient fellow in the middle.
Well, Coach, this is out of the blue maybe, but there's a lot of talking about the playoff format, and I know that you have no control over it.
Right.
But you like it as it is, because right now we have the feeling that we're seeing four Stanley Cup finals at the same time, and some good teams will unfortunately, right. will get beat.
Right.
So what is your reflection over the format?
I got absolutely no problem with it. That we, you know, the 1-2 team meets in the second round. That's the environment that we all understand. I think the speed on all the teams left is so good, the hockey is so good, that we're going to grab fans maybe a month earlier. The casual fan that likes hockey and says, you know what, well, yeah, maybe for me in baseball or for me in basketball, I'll watch the final. But maybe there's some fans that we're grabbing now that instead of waiting to the final, there's also really, really good hockey played in the first and second round. I'm all right with it. I probably have more, and maybe have an issue, you're a little more uncomfortable with a playoff format where you could miss the playoffs and finish in the top eight. I got a bit of a problem with that, right? Like, I don't know if it's happened once or twice, but because of the way it's seeded, that you could actually drop out. That potential would bother me. I think the top 16 should get in, or at least the top eight on each side. But having really exciting hockey 6 weeks before the Stanley Cup final, it's got to be a really good thing. And in any series, and I'm not just talking about ours, so let's just say that you think that San Jose and Vegas are the two best teams. Well, one of them's coming out. They're not both getting beat. So you're getting a great team out. I think it elevates the quality of hockey earlier in the two-month process. So I'm all right with it.
Thank you.
As long as we win.